Okay.
Okay, so let's take a moment and let our body settle, let's let our breath settle. Letting go of the words just spoken. Letting go of the feelings, impressions that were just before. So that we can bring ourselves present into this moment. Can say the invocation toward the one, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So welcome to this session of on the inner life of Hazrat Inayat Khan. And today we are going to be working with chapter 7. So just carrying on from what we have been working through before. And this chapter is really exploring the sort of spiritual evolution of the person or of the soul when it oops, when it moves beyond personal desires, and when it kind of starts to look beyond, towards the divine perfection, look beyond all the personal kind of drives that are our drives in life. Like, some people drive to seek inspiration. Some people their drive is to seek power. So these are the Jalal and Jamal aspects of human beings, you could say. And when we really truly enter the spiritual path, then we go beyond beyond these. And Hazrat Inayat Khan says that he's asking, is it power which is the object of the spiritual person, or is it inspiration after which he seeks? It is in fact neither of these things which the spiritual person pursues, but all such things as power and inspiration allow the spiritual person follow the spiritual person as they proceed on their path towards the spiritual goal. So, and that spiritual evolution is not a straight line of development. So we sort of I think I've described it oftentimes, and it's like a circle. We work with our heart, and we can't go higher than we are willing to go lower. So we work both, it's like a spiral motion, constantly going like this. And again, Hazrat Inayat Khan says that the process of evolution is not a straight way. It is more like a wheel which is ever turning. So the experience of a person who treads the spiritual path begins to show a downward tendency, and from that again upwards. And he's going to go into that downward motion or tendency and describe those in a little bit more detail. For instance, in the spiritual path, a person goes backwards. He experiences or she experiences youth again, For spirituality gives health to the mind and to the body, it being the real life. They experience vigor, strength, aspiration, enthusiasm, energy, and the living spirit that makes them feel youthful, whatever be their age. So this is the first stage, you could say, of this evolution, when we go beyond these immediate desires. And that's the state of when we become like children, and then further on become like infants, which is even more, it's the stage of like innocence and joy, just simple joy. So Hazrat Inayat Khan says, they become a little child, eager to play, ready to laugh, happy among children. They show in their personality childlike traits, especially that look one sees in children, where there is no worry, no anxiety, or bitter feelings against anyone, where there is a desire to be friendly with all, where there is no pride or conceit, but readiness to associate with anybody, whatever their class or caste, nation or race. So the spiritual person becomes like a child. The tendency to tears, the readiness for laughter, all these are found in the spiritual person. So this is kind of like one of our steps, or one of the things that we practice on our spiritual path, to kind of let go of this ego grasping of that we need to be a certain way, our image, and just let go of that and be ready to laugh and be happy amongst children. So that, you know, like as an adult, we have this really heavy burden of self-image that we carry around. And anything that we do, it's kind of like we're calculating to not be falling down the I don't know, the stage or where we see ourselves, and you know, it's so easy to become wounded by, you know, even when somebody like ever so slightly offends us. And so in this childlike surrender, we just let go of all of that and allow ourselves to be just simply innocent with it, with whatever is happening. So Hazrat Inayat Khan is saying that this is the stage where humanity really begins. So we are invited to, you know, to practice that look, the look one sees in children, as he says, you know, where there is no anxiety, no worry, no pride. So I'll just read a couple more things here, and then we'll do a little practice with this. So as the spiritual person goes further, they show in their nature infancy. This can be perceived in their innocence. Their heart may be lighted with wisdom, yet they are innocent. As the infant has no regard for honor or for insult, neither has the spiritual person. When they arrive at this stage, they answer insult with a smile. Honors given to them are like honors given to a little baby who does not know to whom they are offered. So let's just do a little bit of a little practice with this one. So let's just close our eyes for a moment and allow our breath to settle. And feel this innocence and freedom flow through our heart, where we are friendly with all. We are not judging anybody by their class, by their race, by any differences that that we might feel. And then visualize your heart expanding and opening and including and embracing the whole of humanity. As you breathe in, as you breathe out, feel your breath embracing the whole humanity. Recognize the seeds of perfection in you. So that all the philosophies of aiming to behave like a loving mother or like a kind father or like a helpful friend, these are the seeds inside your heart, waiting to manifest. So we're breathing in, Ya Rahim, and breathing out, Ya Rahman. Breathing in, feeling that seed of love towards whole humanity, and from the whole of universe, breathing that in. The breath is a little slow and deep. And then breathing out, Ya Rahman. Feeling that love reach all the people we know and even further. Breathing in, absorbing these qualities of love and mercy into our being. And breathing out, feeling our empathy towards all living beings, towards all humans. just giving a little taste of these different stages of how when we journey downwards in a way, but at the same time as we do that, we also journey upwards, if you can put direction to this. Oh, there is a story. There is a story of Nyōgenzen Zaki, and one time he went to meet a Swami. I'm gonna read you the story here. The Swami was very proud, very intellectual, and had accepted worldly honors. His subject was to be equal-minded in pleasure and pain. After the lecture, the Zen monk, that means Nyōgenzen Zaki, asked for an interview. The Swami, as was his wont, kept him waiting a long time. The monk knew it. There was an expensive vase on the table. When the Swami came in late, Senzaki acted as if he had been suddenly awakened from sleep, arose awkwardly, and knocked the vase down, smashing it into bits. The Swami said, "You stupid fool! You stupid fool! Why, that vase cost $200!" The monk put his hand into his inner pocket and pulled out a huge wallet filled with paper money. "So sorry, excuse please, so sorry, excuse please." He pulled out the requisite number of greenbacks, calmly handed them to the Indian, and said in departing, "And now, thank you. I know what is meant by equal-minded in pleasure and pain." So there's a lot of stories, Sufi stories that are similar to that, and I will tell you later another story that I really love. You probably know, or possibly know, that as well. But yeah, they're just beautiful examples on how we actually can live this, these practices. So just to finish off that childlike state, or that stage, Hazrat Inayat Khan is saying that there is a tendency in such a person to appreciate every little good deed done by anyone, to admire good wherever they see it in any person. It's a tendency to sympathize, whatever be the condition of the person, saint or sinner. A tendency to take interest in the affairs of their friends when called upon to do so. So that's our first stage then. But now, as the person grows, they continue also to grow backward. They now show the signs of the animal kingdom. For instance, such a quality as that of the elephant, which, with all its strength and power of giant bulk, is ready to take the load put upon it. The horse, which is ready to serve the rider, and the cow, which lives in the world harmoniously, comes home without being driven, gives milk, which is the right of her calf. These qualities come to the spiritual person. The same thing is taught by Christ. So this is now when kind of going, you could say, downwards or backwards, and at the same time discovering the hidden gifts in the animal kingdom. In this case, it's that willingness to serve, and to bear the burdens of the others. So it's like the elephant, who is, big and strong, and just willing to carry the burden in the same way the spiritual person becomes ready to carry anyone else's burden when it is necessary. So our job as, you know, Murids on the path is to manifest that strength and that magnetism so that we are able to serve when we are called upon. And so that we can support others and others feel strengthened and kind of stimulated by our presence. So we do another little practice. We're gonna use two wazifas, two beautiful names, two qualities of the one. One of them is Yakawiyu. 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 And that is the, you know, the strength, the overbearing strength, I could say. So that's and that's in this context, it's this you know, we, it's our capacity to serve. Yes, Yakawiyu. And then the second one we are using is Yawaliyu. Yawaliyu. And Yawaliyu, that's the, it's Yawali, the wazifa. But when we say them two together, we sort of add this you in the to the end there, just to flow better. So it's Yakawiyu, Yawaliyu. You know, if you say it just alone, it's Yakawi, Yawali. But when, you know, so we just bind them together in this way. And Yawali is you know, the closest friend that we have. So it comes from the same root. It comes from the root waliha, which is the most intimate, closest love that there is. So it's showing that intimate, close love to anyone we meet, and being ready to serve anyone we meet as if they are our closest friend. So we'll do that, those two, for just a short while. Yakawiyu, Yawaliyu. 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 Yakawiyu, Yawaliyu, Yakawiyu, Yawaliyu. Now breathing in Kawiyu, breathing in the strength, and breathing out Yawaliyu, breathing out the willingness, our love to serve. Our love for the others that is the driving force to serve, for us to serve. And then letting go of the words. And just breathing in the strength, breathing out the love to serve. So now we are gonna go through to the next stage, and that's the vegetable stage. So what can we learn from the vegetables? Hazrat Khan says, when one goes on further still, there develops in them the quality of the vegetable kingdom, of the plants which bring forth fruit and flowers, patiently waiting for the rain from above, never asking any return from those who come gather flowers and fruit, giving and never expecting a return, desiring only to bring forth beauty according to the capability which is hidden in them. Wow. Okay, learning from plants and flowers. So it's like, so it's this stage of selfless giving and just like radiating out that capacity to give. It's like we don't need to do anything. We just be who we are and radiate out. It's like a perfume coming off us. You know, this, here I am, you know, like the flower giving their perfume, not expecting anything in return. Or like a fruit tree, you know, they, you know, heavy with fruit, and you just go and pick. You just go and pick. So we just do a very short practice of just a minute or so, just breathing, breathing in, feeling our being like a, you know, just breathing with a radiance and with that perfume of just being who we are. And radiating that out as a gift for anyone who who comes along. Breathing in and feeling the rain of divine grace entering our being. And breathing out, feeling that grace like a perfume radiating out to all those we meet. Amen. So Hazar Tenat Khan says, life itself is in the giving. Life itself is in the giving. We are not needing to do anything. We're just becoming that source of fragrance and bringing God through our experience into the world. And when the spiritual person, that's Hazar Tenat Khan again, when the spiritual person advances still further, they arrive at the stage of the mineral kingdom. They become a rock for others to lean on, to depend upon, a rock that stands unmoved amidst the constantly moving waves of the sea of life, a rock to endure all things of this world whose influence has a jarring effect upon sensitive human beings, a rock of constancy in friendship, of steadfastness in love, of loyalty to every ideal for which they have taken their stand. So, learning from the rocks, learning from the mineral kingdom, from the mountains, that constancy and that dependability. So, again, we do just a tiny little practice here. And sit, if you're able to sit with your back as straight as you can, really kind of connecting that most solid part of your being, your spine, feeling your spine very steady and solid, and able to withhold or able to hold you, you know, strong. To develop that firmness within you. And then visualize yourself as a mountain or as a big rock underneath the ocean, on the ocean floor, totally steady, so that even when the kind of the waves and movements, the currents of the daily life, like your emotions, the impressions, our anxieties, you know, all of these keep moving. But you are staying like a rock like a mountain, solid and totally unmovable. And being like a rock, it doesn't mean that you become cold, it just means that you become steady, that you become totally dependable, solid for others to lean upon if there is a need. Breathing in slowly and deeply, feeling the strength of the universe, feeling your body. And we introduced two friends again. One is Yasabur, which is usually translated as the patience. But it's not the patience in the sense of like just enduring. It's the patience of knowing that I will come through this, whatever the this is. You know, it's this strength of just carrying on, knowing that you will carry on until, you know, as long as it takes. So, Yasabur. And then we also use Yamatin, which is the steadiness, the firmness, holding steady and never being kind of waylaid, not letting yourself being waylaid from your path. So we do that practice for a little bit. Yasabur. Yamatin. 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 Yasabur. Ya Matin, Ya Sabur, Ya Matin, Ya Sabur, Ya Matin, Ya Sabur, Ya Matin, Ya Sabur, Ya Matin. And just keep breathing. Breathing in, knowing that we are gonna get through this, no matter how long it takes. Breathing out. Keep going with that firmness, steadfastness. Never getting waylaid. And letting go of any visualization or any words. Amen. So there is two more stages that we are going to cover. We're going to look at them together because they are in one way you could see it's like going upward, back upward. You can arrive to those stages after truly embodying this, this backward or this lower stages that we just covered. But it's also the soul's journey in Sufi practices. The soul is coming from the divine unity, and then moving through the different planes of angels and planes of jinns, and then becoming human, and then there is these planes of animals and plants and minerals. So you could see it kind of like vertically in this way. But the reason why Hazrat Inayat Khan is talking, it's like a wheel, that it's not straightforward. So we sometimes work on the angelic plane, and then we work on the mineral plane, and then so we work on all these planes simultaneously or at the same time, or we move from one to another, and then as we need, and as as we progress on the path. So, Hazrat Inayat Khan says again, the further advancement is into the jinn quality, which represents the all-knowing and all-understanding. There is nothing one cannot understand. However difficult the situation, however subtle the problem, whatever be the condition of those around one understands it all. So it's the jinn stage is the, you know, the infinite knowledge. You have knowledge of all things, all planes, and just kind of manifesting that really in our being. And then the next one is when the person advances still further, their nature develops into that of an angel. And the nature of the angel is to be worshipful. Therefore, they worship God in all creatures. They do not feel greater, or they don't think to be better or any more spiritual than anyone else. As Lord Buddha said, I see now that all mankind has perfect wisdom and enlightenment. So for such a person who is who has reached the jinn or the angel stage, for them there is no longer necessary that they must worship God at a certain time or in a certain place or in a certain manner, because there, for them, every breath, every interaction, everything becomes prayer. Every moment of their life they are in worship, they are before God, and being before God, every moment of their life they become so purified that their heart becomes a crystal where everything is clear. When that stage arrives, it is beyond all expression. It is a sense. It is a realization. It is a feeling which words can never explain. There is only one thing that can be said, that when a person has touched that stage, which is called perfection, their thought, speech, action, their atmosphere, everything becomes productive of God. They begin spreading God everywhere. So, yeah, so this is the stage when everything becomes worship. And I think in one of the last sessions we were touching upon that a little bit, in a little bit from a different angle, but you know, that talking about the saints for whom everything becomes a prayer, and you know, they spread God, living God, everywhere they go. So let's do one last practice and then I'll tell you a story. Oops, yes, well, short practice. So let's just again sit in our breath, feeling that we are just sitting in the presence of divine presence. We do not do anything, we do not think about anything particular, we just sit in the divine presence. And by doing that, God will start acting through us, breathing through us. And so with our breath, we purify our heart so that our heart becomes as clear as crystal, totally radiant and able to reflect anything it comes in contact with. So let's just breathe with that for a moment. Feeling every breath purifying our heart crystal, the crystal of our heart. Polishing. So that we know ourselves and we know all other beings, and we just reflect the divine. So that's a long chapter, and in this chapter Murshid Sam is talking, also mentioning Swami Ramdas, who was one of the one of his inspirations. And if you know of some stories of Swami Ramdas, then he was just constantly living in that presence of the divine, and for him everything was Ram. And you know, there's loads of stories of him encountering either other saints or ordinary beings, and then in everybody he saw Ram. And this the one of my favorite stories of Swami Ramdas was when he was in a resting house in India. He was traveling through India, you know, just with no possessions, nothing. And in many places he was recognized as a saint or as a holy person, and in some places not. And he would always say that something like, you know, "Oh Ram, you know, you provide in one form and you take it away in another form," you know, like this. So one of the stories, when he was in this resting house and this cold and rainy night, this like really disheveled person, you know, this man came into his room and started demanding, "Oh, you know, give me your clothes." And so he just took his clothes and gave them to him. Give me your bowl, you know, that he was eating from. So he gave the bowl. "Give me your deer skin that you're sleeping on." So so like this, one by one, he was just asking Ramdas to give him everything that there was. Even he had this sign on the wall, which was you know, which had the Ramnam written on it, and he said, like, "Give me that sign." So Ramdas just gave everything, and then finally, as a last thing, he said, "Give me your spectacles." So he took off his glasses and gave them to the man, and who then, you know, stormed out into the rain and, you know, and never to be seen again. Then in the morning, his friends came into his room and said, "What? There's been a robbery. You've been robbed." And then Ramdas said, "Oh, Ram, your manifestation is delightful, or your disguise is delightful. But I can see behind your mask." And so he said, "Oh yeah." So they said, "He's taken even your glasses. How, you can't even read anymore. What can you do now?" So Ram Dass said, "The Lord has deprived Ram Dass of spectacles because he may not need them in the future. His will be done." So, and then from that day onwards, Ram Dass didn't wear glasses, and the story goes that his eyesight then improved and became so good that he didn't need them. So there. But yeah, so there was a lot of stories of him, and also him behaving sort of childlike or infant-like. Like one time he arrived to this beautiful park with some friends of his, and as a child, he then suddenly started kind of running around and jumping and just enjoying the nature. And then at some point, he climbed onto this tree, and then on top of this tree, he was just shouting, "Om Ram Ram," like that. So, this childlike joy and being able to, put aside all these adults were kind of like looking at him, in funny ways, like, "Oh, okay, yeah, he's a bit weird." But yeah, and another thing that Ram Dass, Swami Ram Dass was talking about was, again, I think it fits in here, was this sort of seeing behind or beyond these what he called scary masks. Like when somebody is angry with you, or when somebody is deceitful, or when somebody is doing something not kind, then Ramdas's approach was that see that person as a child is looking upon their mother who is maybe playing or hiding behind a scary mask. So you know that behind that mask, behind that scary mask, there is the loving mother, and or the divine, and therefore you can just carry on playing and don't need to be scared about that. So I guess that's kind of like quite a lesson for us to take and I don't know, trying to bring into our life. So yeah. "Oh Ram, your disguise is wonderful, but I see you hiding behind the mask." That was one of the things he said. And another thing that he said, "Possess things, but do not be possessed by them." So, happily letting go.